came to me after asking for prayers and all of that. This thought came to me.
I don't know of anything that specific that she's suffering with and all, but I just felt a strong desire to ask prayers for Sister Melba. We love you very much, and since I don't often show it to you, maybe I do in a strange way, but we love you, and we pray for you always, as we do everyone. In whatever circumstances we're in, we need each other's prayers. We need that. And we have that great privilege of prayer that God's given us. In the Gospel of Mark, the 7th chapter, of course, today I have one specific ordinance given to us, set up by Jesus Christ in the church, but ordinances in general and some thoughts on that. And this scene here, or this is documented and spoken of through God's inspired word also in other Gospels, but I want to go to the 7th chapter of Mark and get these here, bring out some thoughts. Then came together unto him, that's Jesus, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. So we have scribes and Pharisees that came to Jesus from Jerusalem. My first thought there is, well, this can't be good. But it can, because Jesus Christ, there's this, he's the Son of God, is blessed in this. Just as Jesus Christ, I believe, was blessed to come to where Lazarus had died after he was dead 4 days and all. Jesus had a purpose in that. And so Jesus, in this scene, uses this as well with these Pharisees and scribes. And when they saw some of Jesus' disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashing hands, they found fault. So they see, the first thing they do, they say, walk on the ground there where they see Jesus and his disciples, and they see they're eating without washing their hands. Now, I know that the parents, or I hope that the parents, tell their kids and teach them to go wash your hands before we eat. And so as we grow older, maybe some of us older folks may forget that, but you're young, you can remember to go wash your hands. That's a good thing. And before I go into this what happened here, God did give in Exodus and Leviticus, he gave in the law certain things that relating to cleansing. That all pointed to our cleansing by Jesus Christ and his blood. That was the case. So this is the scene here. They saw the disciples eating with unwashed hands. They found fault. And then we're told why. We're told why. He says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. So I'm going to grab some things from this third verse. Now that, when I see that word oft, I finish that word up and put often. That's not what that means. It means a tight fist or hard scrubbing. It's a hard scrubbing or a tight fist. So that's the type of washing. The Pharisees and the scribes and whatever Jews were there looked at the disciples and they didn't wash their hands at all, or they're doing it wrong. I mean, they washed their hands. I know now they say, what is it? You sing a song or something while you wash your hands with the soap. It kills the germs in that amount of time and all for logical reasons and cleanliness and so forth. But so the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft or that way, they eat not. They don't eat. So if they don't wash their hands, Pharisees, Jews, and all, they don't eat. That would get me to wash my hands, I tell you. If I couldn't eat, because I know there's some homemade ice cream in there that Sister Donna brought today that it's calling my name. And so I want to eat some of this stuff that the sisters have brought. But so, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Now, this brings me into my points now, today. Holding the tradition of the elders. That's not, now we call preachers in the Primitive Baptist Church, we call ordained ministers elders. That's the elder so-and-so. That's what we do. That's not what this is. This is not, and this is not even the current aged men that they're talking about here. This is talking about the ancestors, those from years ago, maybe centuries. It's tradition of the elders. They're holding those. It's a tradition of the elders. Now, let me go to 1 Corinthians 11. I think that's where I want to go. Yes, yes. As I go into this, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just the second verse, Paul says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." These are not the ordinances, and I'll define some of this in a minute, but these traditions and ordinances that Paul delivered them to them are not traditions of the elders. They are traditions of God Almighty Himself and of Jesus Christ being God. They are ordinances that He delivered, not of men, but of God and of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that delivered the ordinance of the Lord's Supper to the church. He instituted that. And then, of course, we have the ordinance of baptism. He followed the example of baptism in having John the Baptist baptize him, Jesus Christ. So this is what this is their complaint here, I guess. Back in Mark chapter 7, Pharisees' complaint is they don't eat if they don't wash their hands thoroughly, hard scrubbing, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. So a little bit rewording there, I guess, to clear it up, if we didn't get it already. If they don't wash, they don't eat. Now that is holding to the traditions of the elders. That's if they follow that. Was there one Pharisee, scribe, one Jew that maybe didn't do that a couple of times? Yeah, there are probably many and all. And this is what they held to from the tradition of their fathers. Now, in that though, there were many things that, because you won't find some of this in God's Word. That, okay, God set this up and told, commanded through Moses, you do all these things and all. And so they would build on that. We have, the church has, and we all, we have traditions, customs that we follow. I think of different churches, a couple of examples, just very skimming the surface on some of this, we have some churches that only bring lunch. They bring dinner on, have dinner on the grounds, as they call it, and lunch only one Sunday a month. That's it. And other churches have it every Sunday, which we do. Others maybe see. I remember growing up as a kid, we didn't have lunch on first Sundays. And so we'd go to people's houses or something like that and visit and have lunch or something to that effect. So even from so many years ago, I remember that tradition of the church, the Grace Church in Houston. And we had had lunch on three Sundays and not one. We gather and begin our worship service at 10:30, give or take. Anyway, so we gather and begin our worship service at 10:30. Now we have fellowship before. There's some sweet fellowship beforehand. There's also some work to be done and all beforehand. Today, a little bit more. Thanks to Brother Eric for handling, getting the wine set up and everything, the bread and so forth. But that's all done. It's every Sunday or every communion we do certain things. Some churches break for lunch after services, and then they'll come back for the communion service and all. Many have shifted to. I've witnessed going immediately following church worship service into communion. So those are traditions of men. Those are fine. So my point in all that is I'm not condemning those things. But yet the Pharisees are going a little bit overboard here. A good ground to stand on this, because we'll see that Jesus Christ calls them out on this. He tells them exactly and tells us here. And he uses one pretty drastic example a few verses down. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold. As the washing of cups and pots, vessels, and of tables. And just a side note, I actually looked at, because that makes sense, you know, cleaning your cups and pots and vessels, your pots and pans and so forth, dishes, and the tables and all. But that word tables there, just so you know, you can hang on to this or toss it aside, but it actually can mean also, besides tables, couches, chairs, recliners. It is to recline. So it's unless they wash all these things, then they don't eat. So they're emphasizing cleansing, and that's fine, but they're fixing to call out Jesus' disciples, and not so much his disciples, but they're calling Jesus out on this. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him. So now they get down to it. This is everything they've observed in the first couple of verses, and then the reason why in the next couple. Fifth verse says, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders? There's that again, to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands. He answered, so Jesus answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So he said, they're looking at what they see. They certainly can't read into anyone's heart. And that's something I have to watch with myself and all. Someone's motive in doing something. Maybe a little bit cantankerous or in a bad mood, for lack of better terms. There could be something. Maybe what I need to do is stop and pray for that one, that they're suffering something. That's me. I dig up the smallest little tiny things to put me in a bad mood. But I know that's hard to believe, Sister Melba. But I do get in a bad mood every now and then. So he says this. He quotes Isaiah. Now let us real quickly jump to Isaiah. The 29th chapter is what he's quoting, the 13th verse. Jesus quoted Isaiah to them. Now, the Pharisees, they knew who Isaiah was. They have his writings, his prophecies, and so forth. Wherefore the Lord said, so the Lord said this, which he just said it in that fifth verse of that chapter there, the sixth verse in the Gospel of Mark. The Lord also said that in Jesus Christ. For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Just that phrase brings me to tears, but because that's me there. It's and not maybe something for show, but I just do it. Maybe it's out of habit. It's out of tradition of the elders, of men. With their mouth, they say, I praise God. I glorify Him. I worship Him. I'm thankful to Him. It's with their mouth and their lips. They honor Him, but have removed their heart far from me. Jesus Christ just quoted this verse to the Pharisees. This is what He means. So He's saying, your heart is far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. And I'll get in this word precept in a moment. One more verse here. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. Now that, if I just stop that verse there, that sounds great to me. A marvelous work, a wonder. God's going to perform that. But this is in the negative. It's for His people, because He cares for them, He loves them. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? There's the marvelous work He's about to perform for them. It will be a miracle when Haggai said, consider your ways there. This is how serious Jesus is coming here to the Pharisees and the Jews with this, is that He's saying their hearts are not with Him. They worship just with their lips, but their hearts are far from them. So He quotes Isaiah there. Going back to Mark 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, the traditions of the elders, the commandments of men. Tradition is a rule established by an authority, whatever tradition it is. So, if it's the traditions of the elders, then their ancestors, somewhere along the lines, they set up that rule, this washing hands stuff and all. They set that up. So it's by an authority. The traditions of God, the ordinances of God, are set up by the authority of God Himself, not men. There's the difference. Now, we may take an ordinance of God or a commandment of God, a precept, which is a commandment. That word precept was in Isaiah. And we may take that and build on that. It's like, well, this is how we're going to follow that commandment. Many times that's fine. And there's no, and again, churches and people, children of God, they're all different in this. And so as long as their heart is following after God, as Jesus Christ is reprimanding them for not doing here, then God will bless that. And it takes Him in our lives for us to do that and not betray Him. Eighth verse says, for laying aside the commandment of God. So we lay aside the commandment of God. Let's lay that aside, whatever the commandment is. There are a bunch of commandments of God to us. If we don't follow a commandment here, if we're one of God's children, saved by the cleansed by the blood of Christ, that will not keep us out of heaven. Should we still follow the commandments of God? Yes, we should. And not only do we are we obligated and owe it to God to do that, but then on top of that, he rains down, showers down blessings upon us for doing that, for doing our reasonable service. That's all it is. And so there's a blessing in it. So if you need a carrot dangling out there on a stick there, laying aside the commandment of God, ye, the Pharisees, hold the tradition of men. They've chosen. They're not trying to take this ordinance or precept of God given them by Moses and follow that. And you say, well, this is how I'm going to follow it. They've gone overboard. Pharisees were in a place where they were placing more emphasis on those additions to the ordinances of God than the ordinances themselves. Jesus is about to prove it to them. And you think Jesus didn't know Scripture? God Almighty, this is His Word. He knew it. So laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such thing like things ye do. So a plethora of other things, you do that as well as the pots and pans and so forth, the tables and your hands. You've chosen that over the commandments of God. He speaks directly to them here. He didn't, at least it's not written in Scripture, but he doesn't call them vipers here. He does other places and all. And he's not finished. It says in the ninth verse, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God. This Pharisees are probably thinking, I wish he'd let this go. He's told us twice now, and in other words, about laying aside the commandment of God. But he says that again. You full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Jesus here reminds me of the Apostle Paul when he repeats several things, several verses. It's like, okay, we've got that. But he repeats this here. Jesus, the Son of God. And then he tells them why. He tells them why here. He's not going to just leave them hanging. In the 10th verse, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. So here's one of these commandments in Exodus 21. I'll just read it to you. 21 and 17. What Jesus just said says, this is the law. And it says, and I'll just read it first. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That's pretty plain. I would say that my brother Mark should be thankful that we don't follow that anymore. But me too. I'm just not going to lay it on him. If I curse my mother or father, put to death. This isn't any, well, what does it mean by that? It means put to death if they do that. That's how important it is. But yet, the premise behind that is certainly and not been cast aside. He told them that there. We still honor our mother and father. Now then, another place we're given in the New Testament that if we care more for father, mother, brother, sister, and so forth than God and the church and so forth, you know, there's a point there that he makes pretty intense point. Let me finish this here and go back. So he says that here. Now, where is this coming from? I look in the first verse of the 21st chapter. He says, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Okay, so someone's telling Moses, this is part of the list there. So let me back up further. And who is it? And you all know. First verse in the 20th chapter. And God spake all these words, saying. And then we have the Ten Commandments and so forth and these other things. That's what's given them. So that's to set up. Go back to Mark chapter 7. That's what sets up what Jesus is about to tell them here. He's just telling them the same thing that Stephen, the deacon Stephen, told them where he got stoned to death. Just tell them, you all know that you know this. He could, behind everything that Stephen said when he was preaching that day before he got stoned to death, he could have said, right, make them agree to it, because they knew. And these Pharisees know this here. Now, I don't know what they were thinking. I kind of wonder when he said, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. They knew exactly what Jesus was referring to. Whether it was spinning in their mind, I'll do that. I'll sit under the sound of the gospel and the preacher's kind of stepping on my toes. And I'll think, oh, let's see, well, do I do that? Or when was the last time I did it? Because I know I've done it and so forth. You start thinking about that and wonder if the Pharisees are thinking that. I don't know. We'll never know. Says, but then Jesus goes on. But ye say, Pharisees, ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban. Then he tells us what that means. That word Corban, that's a strange. It is Corban, that is to say a gift. So you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother that it is gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. He's saying, Pharisees, what you're doing now is you're not putting anyone to death for this breaking of God's commandment. You're saying there's a way that you can be free from that here. And then he goes on, in fact, to wrap this point up with Jesus in the 12th verse, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. They're released from full responsibility of taking care of their mother or father. And I think about your situation. They have taken responsibility for Brother Roger's mother in many things, physical, emotional, everything. And that is a child's responsibility. But they're saying here, the Pharisees were saying, oh, not only can they curse their father or mother, number one, they're not put to death. And then they're saying, now you can wipe out all of your responsibility for your father or mother, no matter what shape they're in, financially or otherwise. So Jesus is giving this to them. This is not me telling you anything. It's the Word of God. I see the great responsibility and the care that so many, even here today, that have taken for their mothers and fathers. And whether if they needed financial help or a different house or living arrangements and emotional and medical and so forth, there's a lot of responsibility there. Certainly not an issue here that I'm aware. 13th verse, and I'll close this out. So doing all this, you've done all this with father, mother, cursing, no death and everything, freeing child's responsibility, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. Not through the ordinance, precept, tradition of God, but through your tradition. It's like, well, let's do this. Let's change this around and we'll free them from this. It's just one example that Jesus gave here. But making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered. They delivered it. God didn't. Who should well know? Jesus used that word well and full well. Jesus, God, should know who gave them that commandment. And it wasn't him. Wasn't him. That ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So he made this strong point here, and I won't go on there. You know, in many places, I love to go on and see reactions of things and so forth. But it's funny because the Pharisees typically would take the same stance that I take. I'll confess to you, and that's to get defensive. I get defensive, even though I know, yep, I did that and all, or I'm not doing this and I should and so forth. But no, you shouldn't be telling me that. I get defensive over that. Now, over time, I'll get past that and think, you know what? They were right. They were right. And that's where I have to beg that my spiritual nature is the one that reacts in those situations, that my human nature doesn't, because that's not going to be good. Anyway, so Jesus Christ here is telling them this. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, if I can get to it. Second chapter, Thessalonians, somewhere around the 14th or 15th verse. Paul says here, 15th verse, second chapter, second Thessalonians. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions. There's a familiar phrase from Mark chapter 7. Stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, my epistle, the Apostle Paul. Like I started out what was it, 2 Corinthians, where he had given him there those ordinances. Those were God's ordinances. Through his epistle here and the traditions that Paul gave them by word and by epistle, those were the ordinances, those were the precepts and commandments and traditions of God. Christian Jews, those Jews that had converted to Christianity, that believed that Jesus was the Christ, did they have certain traditions in their lives every day, day in, day out? Or each time they met, whatever day it was, and worshiped God. They had traditions, things that they did. Well, let's see, they gather down here at about this time, on this day, on Sunday, whenever it was. And so that was their tradition, same as us. So that's been passed down as well. But the commandments that this was built on, just saying that we should separate ourselves, sanctify ourselves in worshiping God, in serving Him, or I'll just limit it to the worship service then, in sanctifying ourselves, certainly our heart. Don't have our heart far from God, certainly. And our mind, our thoughts should be on it, should be in prayer for that. I had something, you know, I thought about praying for Sister Melba today. You know, something else was brought up. We couldn't find something this morning to help assist in the filling the little wine cups for communion and all. Couldn't find it anywhere. And got another one ordered, just a small problem. But someone had said, told me that they knew someone that prayed. When they couldn't find something, they prayed that they would find it. Never thought of that before. That's how minuscule, that's how small something is. What do you think God can't handle to help you find some? Maybe it's something of great importance, a will, a legal document or something, down to just this, that would have made it easier on Brother Eric filling those little cups and so forth. But to pray to Him, in that our daily sanctification and our Sunday sanctification should go far from walking in the door at whatever time it is and separating ourselves then. I have to build up to that. I do. And then y'all singing certainly blesses me to do that. Because I have to pray. I might forget to pray for God to bless me in finding something I've lost, but I don't forget to pray that God would remove the distractions from me. Certainly when I get up here to preach to saints of God, but in my life to pray that He remove those things from me. Brother Eric, I hope you don't take offense to this or don't mind. I find time to ask, but Brother Eric texted me something, and it was a question, but really it was a large statement with a question at the end. I answered. I texted back, but I have to tell you that just yesterday, and I'll tell you what it was. The main thought in his thought was that we choose faith over fear. Faith over fear. Now that's can be a problem for me. Fear, whether it's just fear that, oh, am I going to get this program developed at work before the deadline and stuff, or just any kind of fear, you put it in there. So that was his main thought, to choose faith over fear, and it's really to choose Jesus Christ over Satan. So that's where fear comes from, not Jesus. But also later in his thought, and this is what hit me, I said choose faith over fear / sin. So that hit me. And just yesterday, literally, that came to my mind. If you ever think, I need to communicate this to brother or sister so-and-so, in whatever way it is, if it's a text or whatever, a phone call, and you let that go by, it could have been that they needed that, or they will need it 2 days from then. Because I needed that very statement, that thought, in something literally yesterday. So we certainly should do that. Certainly off topic if I had one. But let's keep our hearts close to God, not just worship Him with our lips and our mouths and all. And I feel that. I feel that with you all. I really do. Or else I would tell you about it. I would rather warn ahead of time than to come back behind and pray that God would bless us with this marvelous wonder and work that He would do. May God bless and keep you is my prayer.